Okay, would you turn in your Bibles to the Message, and it's Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, and then Song of Solomon, chapter 3. So we are ready to listen. I said a week ago, pray for me for my trip to Finland. And I feel like the prayer was answered. I didn't go. You prayed for me in God's will, and even though we got to the airport in a timely fashion, an hour and a half before my flight, just roadblock after road just didn't happen. They closed the gate early, and I was lacking one document, and so it didn't happen. So thank you for your prayers. And I've been doing the conference there with them by Zoom, and I did three short messages and two rap sessions so far. It ended today, and they had a great time. God bless them. I mean, he did. So that's how it goes. It's so good that we have a relationship with God in every situation, don't we? By the way, there's a group going to South Dakota to minister on an Indian reservation in Rosebud, South Dakota, this summer from here, about 30, 35 people. And then there's a group going to Arkansas to soul win, evangelize. They leave tomorrow. And that's a group, I think, about 20 people with Ronaldo. And then Pastor Hadley and I and Pastor Smith were going to West Virginia because of an old song I remember. West Virginia, how's it go? I can't believe you know a worldly song. It's not worldly. Okay, so we're going to go for 3 days and be out there and just to reach people, spend the summer just reaching out. Now, our team that went to North Carolina, South Carolina, then the storm Elsa was coming, and they changed direction from Savannah, Georgia, to Atlanta, inland, away from the storm. And they had that, then they came back up to Raleigh, and they're on their way home. Maybe they came home last night. I'm not sure, but they had a tremendous time. And that was with Julius and the team of 13 people doing outdoor concerts and evangelism and so on. Wow, that's fun. That's a joy. If you want to jump in and do something along those lines, keep your eyes and ears open, because that's what's happening this summer at Greater Grace. And you are so welcome. Right here locally, like you heard from Lizzie, right here in our parking lot on July 17th, Gospel Grill. Kids coming, playing basketball, eating food, and just loving people. What a good time to be different in the world we are living in. when an elephant is an elephant, how does it die? It dies as a elephant. A dog dies as a dog. When a man lives his life, how does he die? Unfortunately, some people, they never change. They never become what God wants them to be. But Jesus came to give us a new life. An elephant doesn't change, it's an elephant. But a man, he is different. A man, a woman, we are different. We are made in the image of God, not to die as simply a man, as a sinner, but to receive Christ, be born of God, and to be changed, as the scripture says. Christ formed in us, growing in him, being changed. And then it says in 1 John 3, beloved, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we would be called the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. Like him. Wow. So how did this happen? By the incarnation, by the cross, by the obedience of the Son of God. For God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. Whether it was the Son of God, it was the only one that could do this miracle. Give us a new birth, give us a new life, take our sin away, put our name in the book of life, call us by name, and be our Christ, our head, the captain of our salvation, the vine, and we are the branches, the shepherd, we are the sheep, the rock, we are the temple built on the rock. This happened through God and his grace. He loved us and saved us and did this work for us. Wednesday night, Pastor Pete Westera gave a great message on Philippians 1:6, that we are confident that he, God, who began a good work in us, shall perform it or complete it. It's guaranteed that he, God, began. Whenever God begins something, he finishes it. When God began the good work in you, he also completes it and finishes it. What is it that he's done? He has changed us. He has saved us. He has brought us from darkness to light, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son, from Satan to God, from death to life, from the grave to the throne. He did it. Who did it? Jesus did it by his grace. So in Song of Solomon, I'm going to explain to you a few things about this book. It's a precious book of poetry, inspired, every word given from God. And it's a love story between a king and a common woman in a field out in the vineyard. She is suntanned from working in the vineyard. She also has a low image of herself. She's a common person. She is not beautiful in her own eyes, like she's of a lower class, and she's feeling this way. But the king, who has traveled through the countryside, has seen her, recognized her real beauty, and he falls in love with her. He loves her. This is a parallel between God and the believer. God finding us and seeing in us our value and loving us. So in the beginning of the book, she's kind of thinking in a derogatory way, but he is saying in himself how much he sees her value. And then the love continues through the book, and there are encounters, disappearing. She finds him and loses him and goes out to look for him, because her love for him is growing. This is like us. As you follow Christ, your love for Christ by the Holy Spirit will grow. You will know that he loves you first, and then you love him. I want to point this out to you in chapter 2. and verse 2. As the lily among thorns, this is him speaking, and he says regarding this woman, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. So I want to draw a short little picture of this idea. You've got two people, and one is the king, and he is saying, she is relationship number one. She is like a lily among thorns. Thorns in the Bible, it represents the curse from the fall of man. When man fell, the earth was cursed with thorns. A garden with thorns, a world with thorns. Thorns are bearing no fruit. Thorns are prickly. They irritate or torture a person caught in a thorn bush. Very inconvenient, uncomfortable, very bad. And God is saying, the world is like covered with thorns, but you are a flower, a lily in the thorns. I was thinking about some of these absurd political cliches that are said all the time in our world culture. They are like thorns to me. They are like lies. There are misrepresentations. There's hypocrisy. There's hatred. There's division. There's jealousy. There's covetousness. There is adultery. There is pornography. There is unbelief. There is defilement. There are wounds. There is abuse. There are people that are bossy. I want to put down here one name, Jezebel. She, in the Bible, is like a very bossy, very strong manipulator. And she can push and push and murder. She's a murderer, the story of 1 Kings 21, and get her way. Yeah, oh, she gets her way. Oh, she can do it. She is good at it. She knows how to do it. She has the right phone numbers in her phone. She has the right words when she's on the phone. She's very persuasive, very manipulative, and very dangerous. This world is filled with thorns. There's thorns of all kinds. There's religious thorns, business thorns, relationship thorns. There's all kinds of thorns. But when God looks at you, he says, you're not a thorn, you're a lily, a fragrant flower in the midst of thorns. And I have set my love on you. I have loved you. I gave my son for you, my holy son, holy, holy spirit, my son who is not a manipulator, but he is a sufferer, a sacrifice for the sins of the world. My son who is humble and is obedient to me and righteous. I love him. He is a righteous man, a true man, wise man, my son, I give to the world. When you believed in the Son of God, you were born again, and the Spirit of God came in you, and you have a new birth and a new nature. Now, by that new nature, you can say back to God, this is point number two here in our text. She says to him, in verse three, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. So we would take a moment and think of all kinds of trees. Check it out, Google it, how many fruit trees are there in the whole world? And the number I got on my phone was 27. Out of all of the species of trees, and there are many of them, They're the evergreen, they're different categories, deciduous trees and evergreens and coniferous trees. You've got all kinds of trees. I wonder how many species of trees, but only so many fruit trees. But there's so many trees, big sequoia trees, redwood trees, little trees, all kinds of trees, okay? But she says to him, but you, to me, you are like an apple tree with two things, shade and fruit. Shade. I sit under your shadow. I am comforted. I am protected by your shadow. Can you say that about God? I sit with God in a place of shade and comfort, coolness. I can lift my hand up and take fruit from your tree. I cannot do that from other trees, but I can do that from you, God, because you are like that to me. You feed me. You comfort me. You teach me. You take care of me. You love me. You'll always be my comforter. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. In the heat of the sun, I am with you. In a time of hunger, I am with you. I was reading this prodigal son story, Luke 15, and the prodigal son, it says he was hungry, and that is a good thing. But the bad thing was he ate the food that the pigs, from the pigs, the husks of the pods that were thrown away, given to the pigs, he ate the garbage. A hungry man eating garbage, a hungry man made in the image of God, made for infinity, made for eternity, and he's eating something like pornography or deceitfulness or covetousness, or he just entertains himself in his flesh. He is eating something less than what he really needs. What he really needs is a relationship with God, where God will feed him. Yesterday on the Zoom meeting with the Finnish people, we were talking, and I was listening to different messages. I heard Pastor Matti's message, and I heard different ones. And I was so much rejoicing in my heart. And I was thinking, God, you have taken care of these churches. You have spoken to these people. They have obeyed you. They have followed you. They found you. They know who you are. Because this was 46 years ago. I went there. I was 23 years old with a team of 10 people and with nothing. Nothing. And all these years, these people that have followed sat under the shadow of the apple tree and found God and ate from that tree through all kinds of circumstances and are living and growing and moving into the future with the living God. This is where I want to go with the message. Look at chapter 2 and verse 3 and finish that verse. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. I'll put here two words, delight and sweet. Is God a delight to you? Do you enjoy him? Is God something that has touched your inner person? I was thinking about the yoga exercise in our country, yoga mats, yoga rooms, yoga exercise, and so on. And I want to think about yoga for a minute, just to say, Eastern meditation is really emptying yourself. Christian meditation is God filling us. Eastern religion is kind of emptying yourself and becoming a zero. But the Spirit of God in our faith is filling my mind and my heart with His Word, with truth and worship. But why is yoga so popular in a way? Because the stress of life and because of the problems and the need for quietness. And I believe in this. I believe that I need to find quietness, but I don't find quietness in emptiness where there is no God, but I find quietness in the presence of God, outside of ourselves, beyond ourselves. This woman could have a life in herself like this, and she could think badly about herself. Oh, no, you don't love me. Oh, no, you couldn't do that. No, I don't know who you are. Oh, no, life is hard. I have no delight, no sweetness. I have nothing that moves me. I have no interest. I don't have any God. I'm eating the just thorns are in my life, thorns everywhere. And I'm eating the throwaway stuff. I'm eating the propaganda, the ideas, the lies, the words of our culture and our people that I'm with. So go to chapter 3 now and read this. This is a beautiful story. Verse 1. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him. Then it says later, I found him. Then it says, I held him. And then it says, I brought him. I sought him. This is important in your life, to seek him. Do you believe you will find him if you seek him? Yes. We will find him if we seek him with all our heart. How do you find him? Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare, Amos 4:12. How do you prepare? I give room for him. I have a room for God in my life. I invite him. I trust him. I make a room for him in my life. I give him place. I want him in my life. She said, I sought him whom my soul loves. Why does she start loving him? Because she realizes he puts high value on her. God puts high value on you. A lot of it. You could say, I've heard some testimonies recently about answered prayer. And I love to hear those stories because answered prayer. Somebody told me yesterday, and this woman totally devastated and with deep problems, and God answering prayer and changing her life, and she finds God, finds the joy of God, the peace of God. I sought him whom my soul loves, verse 1. Whom my soul loves, I sought him, but I found him not. It seems somehow, because we are made in a funny way, it's very hard to know, like, is God with me or not? Man, I don't feel that he is. He is, but I don't feel it. I don't see it. I don't understand that. He doesn't seem, he might even seem far away from me, but he isn't. He is saying, as the lily among the thorns, so you are to me. Read the doctrine, and we read, he will never leave me nor forsake me. read the word, abide in the vine, and you bear fruit, and you ask what you will, and I will do it for you, John 15:7. Ask, whatever you ask, John 14:14, I will answer you. Seek, you will find, Luke 11:13. If you ask for bread, will I give you a stone? I am your loving Father, everlasting. I am the Savior. I am the one that you look for. So, verse 2. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I found him not. Maybe I was seeking for him in all the common places. Maybe I went to the gym to find God. I went to the university. I went to the library. I went to social media. I went to my father, my mother. I went to the priest or the pastor. I was looking for God. I went to the church 1,000 times. I went to the synagogue or the mosque, or I went to the stars or the ocean. I went everywhere. I was looking. I found him. I could not find him. I could not find him. Isn't that amazing? But I know him. I know who he is. I want him. And it was a little that I passed by them. It says in verse 3, the watchmen that go about the city found me. There will be unbelievers that will find you. And they will say, who are you looking for? And you will say, have you seen him whom my soul loves? In verse 3, do you see that? I sought him. The watchmen go about the city. The watchmen can be like the people in charge. The watchmen, the people guarding the city, the people in charge of the city, the people in authority. They go about the city. They found me and they said, so to whom I said, I could say to them, have you found him? The one I'm looking for. They don't know what you're talking about. They don't know. They're not the people. Go to the next verse, please. It says, it was but a little that I passed from them. It's like they meet me. They said, who are you looking for? What's going on? I said, have you found him? And like there's no answer. I pass by. I pass beyond them. I go beyond them. I go beyond them. I love that idea. I go beyond them. I go beyond my childhood. I go beyond the bad people, the good people. I go beyond the religious people. I go beyond the people that are in charge. I go beyond the normal, the natural. I go beyond the music. I go beyond CNN and Fox News and ideologies and cliches and propaganda and all kinds of knowledge. I go beyond science. I go beyond history. I go beyond. I'm not leaving truth, but I just know that I can't find the answer in the natural realm of this world. I must find the one that I know who is the Creator and the Savior, the one that really loves me, the one that really knows me, the one that really cares about me. That's what she knows. I wonder, do you know that? I don't want you just to go to a church and listen to a message. I want you to have it in your heart, some kind of desire and burning for the spiritual, the supernatural, the transcendent. Because an elephant is just going to be an elephant and die as an elephant. But you are not made just to be a man, just to be a person that lives like a dog and dies like one. You are more. You are made in the image of God. You are to be like an angel of God. You are more. You are to be like the Son of God. We are conformed to the image of God, Romans 8:29. You go beyond your miserable life, like so to speak, you know, or your good life. Let's talk about that for a second. The good life. In the back of the Jeep, on the Beltway, there's a tire, and the cover over the tire says, "Life is good," right? What else? There's, you know, you look for the good life. I'm living the good life. I'm living the good life. I've done that. Not enough for me. It's not so great. It's great for a few days or weeks or months or years. Then comes a knock on the door, and you've got the bad news. Life, the good life, it's only this long, and then what is it? What is life without God? What is life without the living God? What is life without the Word of God? What is life without the Spirit of God? What is this world about if I live like a dog and die like one? When God said, "Follow me," when he sent his only son so that you and I would be more than what we are. We would be beyond just people. We would love. We would be able to serve. We would believe. We would be Spirit-filled. We would have a Christ mind. So go to the text, please. I passed from them, verse 4. It was a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I found him. I've got three phrases here, and we will finish. Actually, there were four when we say, I sought him. I found him. Is that up there? Okay. I found him. I held him. And then I brought him. I brought him to church. I brought him on the bus with me. He was with me. I brought him. I brought him to the birthday party. I brought him to the barbecue. I brought him to the classroom. I brought him into old age. I brought him to the camp. I brought him into the prison cell. I brought him into the hospital ward. I brought him. I brought him. He was with me. I brought him. How did you bring him? Well, I held him. How did you hold him? Well, I found him. How'd you find him? I've sought him. I've sought him. Who? God. Don't you know that it's easy to find God if you want him? But if you want idolatry or your sinfulness, like we all do that. I prefer my sin, for the pleasure of my sin is for a season. It's for 7 minutes. It's for a week, a month. These affairs, extramarital affairs, that last for 3 months, end in sorrow, broken hearts, shame. Do you want that? Yeah, okay. I've had that, somebody could say. I did that. I've had that. I had another one and another one. Well, how's it going? How's it going? How's your life? That's what the world teaches us, how we live like that. But it is God that teaches you these words here. Here, these ones. I found him. I wrote down a couple things. I found him like Nathaniel found Jesus. I heard him. When I heard him, it was ringing in my ears still when I went to bed. I went to bed. You know, our ministry started more than 50 years ago up in Maine. 1972 is when I found this small Bible college with an excellent pastor, Bible teacher, passionate, loving. When you listened to him, you didn't fall asleep. When you listened to him, you felt like there was something going on. When you came into the assembly, you sensed the Spirit of God. There's a vision. They have a vision to go into all the world with the gospel, and it happened. When you came in, it was kind of like I found him. It was in Maine, and I'm from New York. And I was 19 years old when I got saved. I was up there, and God spoke to my heart, and I had this experience that we're talking about here. I found him. And I held him. Verse 4 says, "But I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him." But this isn't about me. It's about you. It's about you. You can't have it both ways. You can't be smoking marijuana and worshiping God at the same time. You can't have it both ways. You can try it. God is patient if you live, and that's his business. I don't know your future. But you can't do both. You can't live in the flesh and live in the spirit at the same time. It's like those buttons, electronic buttons. You push the top one, the bottom one comes out. You push the bottom one, the top one comes out. They exclude each other. You can't follow God and the flesh, God and the devil at the same time. One excludes the other. You can't get married to two people at the same time. It's one or the other. You might say, no. In my world, you can marry like 15 people. All right, you got problems. Because reality has a way of catching up with your lie. Reality has a way of saying, not going to happen, not good. But God has a way of teaching you and being led and submitted to the God, living God. And when you find him, you hold him tightly, like a child with a stuffed toy. You know, I want that blanket. I want that stuffed dog. That's my dog. That's mine. They hold it tightly. Like when you find Jesus Christ, you consider him so precious and you hold him. Not for sale. I'm not giving him up. He's way above and beyond. I love him with all my heart and mind and soul and my strength. I was soul winning down in the Federal Hill one day, walking along the street, and there was an Indian man coming to me, and we spent some time and talked, and he said that he had many gods, and I said, "I have one God." And he said, that's the difference between you and me. And I said, "Yes, I know, I understand that, but I have to have one." And he said, "Why do you have to have one?" "Because I have to love one. I have one that I love." And he said, "Oh, no, not with me. I can have many." I go, "How many do you?" I said, "Do you love your mother?" He said, "Yes, I love my mother." I said, "How many mothers do you have?" He said, "One." "No, why don't you have many mothers?" "Many mothers. Why not have many mothers? If you had many mothers, your real mother would say, 'You got one, and I'm the one. I'm your mother, and there isn't any other. And I am jealous for you. I am jealous for you to know the truth. I am jealous for you to know I am your mother. how much more with the living God? There's one God that created the heavens and the earth, and he's a jealous God. For your sake, my sake, we do ourselves no favor to live in a lie. There are many lies in this world, but you and I have found him, and we hold him. And then the last one there is, I brought him, right? I brought him where? Into my mother's, how does it read here? Into my mother's house. My mother's house is the church. My mother, Galatians 4, is the heavenly Jerusalem. My mother's house is really that house that God has built. That's the church, made up of believers. I brought him into the assembly at Greater Grace World Outreach on Sunday morning. I brought him where? Into the assembly. When we had fellowship with each other, and I brought him, I brought my relationship with Christ, I brought Christ into the assembly. And there we ate and fellowshipped, and we shared this love, this spirit of love, this spirit of truth. That's why the church is unique in our society. Our church is not just another function of society in the natural sense. Our church is our fellowship, and I don't mean Greater Grace, I mean the church of Christ, whether it's made of born-again believers, Baptist, Presbyterian, Congregational, Catholic, whatever, Orthodox, whatever denomination, the church is made up of every believer who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And that person that is indwelt by the Holy Spirit brings God into the house, brings God into the conversation, brings God and his love into our consciousness, where we are in fellowship with the living God, and our hearts burn within us. We say that's righteous. We love righteousness. We say that's the Lord. The Lord is here. Remember when Eli's little Samuel heard the voice of God? Samuel, Samuel, and he woke up. And Samuel went to Eli, the priest, and said, did you call me? And Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. He goes back to Samuel, Samuel. And he does it again, right? Was it the third time he comes back to the priest, and the priest said, it's God. Next time when you hear that, say, Lord, I am here. I like this story because Eli did know how to hear from God. And he was able to teach the little boy to hear from God, to be before God. Where? How does this happen? In the church, we learn to hear from our Bible, from each other, to hear what is the Spirit saying. We learn to meditate. I mean, you could do a yoga exercise, that's fine. I don't care about that. That's not the point. The yoga exercise is fine, but behind in the philosophy, I'm saying, what am I saying? I am saying the quietness and the presence of God to fill me and satisfy me, the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us and to be so delightfully satisfied. He is sweet, and I delight in him, and I hold him because I have found him, and I bring him. I bring him into the classroom. I bring him into the hospital. I bring him into the fellowship because I have been in the fellowship. I am renewed and refreshed. And so when I leave here this morning, I go out across the parking lot. I get in my car, I can say I have been refreshed in the presence of God. And that's why we love our church. And that's why when I see Poland up on the screen and what's happening in Poland and Argentina and Finland and Sweden and in Russia and the Ukraine and Hungary and Serbia and Austria, and we can go with 72 countries, I think. Some, it's changing all the time, but more or less, it's like more than 70 countries in the world with congregations that I believe those people can say this: I sought him, I found him, I held him, and I brought him. Amen. Okay, would you pray with me, please? At the end of the service, the Greater Grace pastors can come up front here on the floor. And then if you have a prayer request or you want a word of advice or counsel, feel free to come up and talk to them. This is an invitation to anyone listening. You haven't started your Christian faith because you haven't yet in your heart said to Christ, I need you. I'm sick of the food I've been feeding on. I'm not satisfied with this world. I'm turning away from it. I'm turning to you. I'm turning to you. I still have my job, but I'm turning to you. I am married to who I am married to, but I'm turning to you. I still have my physical body that I am living in, but I am turning to you. I have my past, but I am turning to you. I'm putting all my trust in you as my God and my Savior. Say in your heart, Jesus Christ, I trust you. Say that in your heart to him. He will answer you with a new birth. You are born again by believing. So simple faith and trust in him. Walk by faith in him. Turn from your own ways, and he will help you. He will heal you. He will bless you. He will show you. In Jesus' name, amen.